Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
It is great to be with you on this Thursday. And Claus, huge fan, by the way. And by the way, I believe S. Claus is a huge fan of the show, we've heard. Like, we may use that for promos. Hi, everybody. Santa Claus. Big fan of the Steve Jones Show. Oh, stop laughing.
Works for me. I'll take it.
Eagles play the Giants tonight. Dan Duggan, Giants beat writer for NJ.com, is going to join us. We've had Dan on the show a few times in the guise of being the Giants beat writer, and at one point he was the beat writer for Rutgers football. So we'll talk to Dan and Neil Coulong today. We'll preview the game that is only on NFL Network. I'm sorry. But the NFL pulls these little power plays. What are you doing?
It reminds me when ESPN was trying to get more subscribers for ESPN2. So on purpose, they put the North Carolina Duke men's basketball games on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice try.
Yeah. By the way, Eagles-Giants will be tonight on Eagle 107. Airtime will be just after 7. And then, of course, Merrill, Mike, and Howard kick at about 8:15, 8:20. Give or take a minute.
8:25.
There you go. Tune in at 8:15, then you won't miss the kick.
That ought to cover it.
Yes. Hey, we got you covered tonight. Yeah, we have Eagles football, Eagle 107. We got Bucknell basketball will be on 100.9 The Valley tonight, the Princeton game.
Did you see who gave a like on the Facebook page?
Yes, sir.
Nathan Davis.
Thank you, Coach.
Coach, thanks. Appreciate that. That meant a lot. I saw that. I thought, that's pretty cool. That was really nice of him to do. Neil Coulong on the Steelers today as well. Do we have guests? Then tomorrow, Frank Bodani, Audrey Snyder, and my brother on the show tomorrow. Now, I'm going to assume that the office is closing down tomorrow, right? Like about noon or so? Does that sound right?
Yeah, we're going to have our annual Christmas luncheon tomorrow.
I forgot about that. Yeah, I was starting to feel better about myself and my position with this station. And then all of a sudden I remembered it's, again, party time without Steve. Yep, certainly do plan them in such a way where it's just, we meant to invite you.
That drives the imitation girl in the other half of the building nuts.
We meant to send one out. What do you do here? Is there another job that you do that we air? Yeah, there might be.
Then she says to me, I sent it out.
She did. No. I have received none of it. Zero. Zip. Zilch. Nada. So it may drive her nuts all you want, but, you know. Kind of reminds me of you ever see the movie about Monday Night Football? They did a movie about Monday Night Football. And Rune Arledge was famous for telling everybody, I left you messages. I left you messages. All right. And famous for not doing it. Okay. I left you messages. And I tried to call you. Well, Keith Jackson did the first season of Monday Night Football. And there's a scene in the movie where he's in Milwaukee doing a Bucks game for ABC. And Rune decides to make the move to go to Frank Gifford after one season of Keith Jackson. He always wanted Gifford anyway. But Gifford couldn't get out of his CBS contract the first year.
Oh, Monday Night, now they're able to, Monday Night Mayhem from 2002.
Yeah. All right. So Jackson's in Milwaukee doing a Bucks game for ABC. And the story comes out that Frank Gifford's going to, you know, he's finally released from a CBS contract and he's going to do Monday Night Football. So Jackson goes into Rune Arledge's office, according to the movie, right, and confronts Rune Arledge in his office. And Rune says, Keith, I left messages. I tried to call. And Keith Jackson pulls out this big stack of pink messages and puts them down on his desk. And he says, okay, find yours. Whoops. Okay, find yours.
John Turturro is the role of Howard Cosell. Oh, it's out in 2002. It's been out for a while.
Yeah, it's been out for a while.
Yeah.
But that scene, I was like, wow. And I wouldn't doubt that that's how it happened. Because Rune Arledge was famous for, oh, I called you. I mean, I left you a message. I'm like, oh, no, you didn't. No. So, it's all good. But, yeah, we got a lot going on in the show. I mean, next week, I mean, we got to preview some stuff next week. And we're going to be on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week. Okay? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week. We're not on Monday. You know, Sean's got this big thing about, you know, my wife says I can't work on Monday after Christmas. It's the federal holiday, the whole thing. So I knuckled under and said no show. I mean, now I did send Sean a block of cheese to go with his wine.
Awesome. Love cheddar. I'll look for it tonight.
Now, the two of us just looked at each other and said, no, we're not working the Monday after Christmas. It's a holiday, so we're not going to do that. Then, because of Penn State basketball, there's no show next Tuesday. Now, I assume we're carrying that game, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, it's a 3 o'clock start, Big Ten opener, and you'd be amazed, the postgame show ends at 5:30, which means, you know, the show can't hear it at all, so it worked. So, but then we'll be back Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then we will not do the show on the 2nd. I've got something to do on the 2nd. What was that? What am I doing on the 2nd?
You're golfing with Jack, aren't you? I thought.
In the morning. there's something after it. Jack mentioned it the other day, and I'm trying to think of what it was.
People will be going up and down the Rose Bowl parade route. Where's Steve? And he's out golfing. Oh,
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah, he's out golf. Don't worry. Believe me. You know, I mean, yeah, when it gets to 3:30 Eastern time, he'll be there. For us out there, airtime would be 12:30 out there. Right, because the kickoff there is 2 o'clock. And so it's 5 o'clock here. Yeah, it's going to be something. And then off to Detroit. Boy, will that be a kick in the teeth.
All depends on how cold it is when you hop off.
Let me give you. I have a story about that. And people at home are going, oh, yeah, he's got a thousand stories. 1995 Rose Bowl. Okay, now I'm not doing the play-by-play of it. Fran didn't do it either. In fact, I'm the only Penn State announcer who's ever announced a Rose Bowl game. But I went out and I covered it because I had done basketball at Arizona State, and it was so close, it was easy for me to get to the Rose Bowl. Well, I get up on January 3rd. Penn State's won, game's over, whole thing. And I flew out of Burbank. And I left the hotel at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I remember I get in the cab, and on the news they said it was 57 degrees. There's a little bit of a rain. So they said it's 57 degrees.
Okay.
And what was the lead story on the radio that morning? Jury selection for the O.J. Simpson trial. It was going to begin that day. So I get to the airport. I fly from Burbank to Phoenix. Phoenix to Dallas. And then my basketball game was at Minnesota. I get off the plane at Minnesota in Minneapolis, St. Paul, actually in Bloomington. 46 below zero. In one day of travel, I dropped 103 degrees. I am standing there with my bags, waiting for the shuttle. Okay? Waiting for the shuttle to take me to the hotel. And the wind is flowing through there with complete ease. And I'm thinking to myself, what have you done? What have you done?
How long was the wait?
15 minutes. Then I got in that shuttle, and I was sitting in the back, and it looked like something you rent from U-Haul. So we got to the hotel fine. I was like, holy mackerel. This is not good. All right. Story time with Steve is over.
You got a million of them.
I do have a million.
Love it.
But story time with Steve is over. And always remember this piece of advice. Everyone has a suit in their lives. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Santa, all of these wish lists say they want a new Kia.
No worries, Jingle. It's the holidays on our sales event at Sunbury Motors Kia.
Wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia can fill everyone's wish list with a new Kia. It's Kia's Holidays on Us sales event. Just listen to this gift from Sunbury Motors Kia. No payments until May.
You heard right, May.
Plus 0% financing for up to 66 months on all 2017 Fortes and Serenos. And all remaining 2016 Optima and Optima Hybrids. Plus 2016 Optimas and Optima Hybrids also have $500 bonus cash. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. So go ahead, overspend on presents for the family, because you'll still be able to get a brand new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia.
The holidays are on us!
At Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Warranty is limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailers or go to Kia.com.
Great to have you with us as we roll through today. Grayson Allen, whoops, he did it again. Tripped somebody else last night. Suspended indefinitely by Coach K. And I don't think he had much of a choice on this one. Allen didn't give much of a choice. Big story of the day, and what's interesting is it took a long, long time for ESPN to get around to this today. And something that we mentioned yesterday on our show. We're talking about, like, yesterday we talked about it. But the NCAA amended its notice of allegations against North Carolina. And here's the problem. In the third notice, there are accusations of extra benefits for the football and men's basketball programs. That's new. And this covers from 2002 to 2011, Remember, North Carolina won the national championship in college basketball in 2005 and 2009. It concludes that some of the players on that team received extra benefits. They could be deemed ineligible, which, of course, would lead to serious charges, including potentially vacating the titles. Well, we know they won. The new notice additionally claims that many at-risk student-athletes, particularly in the sports of football and men's basketball, use courses to ensure their continuing NCAA eligibility. And we've talked about this over and over again, and for some reason, they don't finish this. Last year on this show, well, earlier this year on the show, I said that the rumors were that everything would come out in April or May after the college basketball season was over. And I said this back in February. Well, April became May, which became June, became July, August, and here we are, December. Now this finally comes out. The NCAA is arguing that the sham courses constitute extra benefits because the university used its relationship with two African-American studies professors to obtain and or provide special arrangements to student-athletes in violation of the extra benefit legislation. The new notice additionally claims that many at-risk student-athletes, particularly in sports of football and men's basketball, use these courses to ensure continuing NCAA eligibility. Now, that's a serious charge. That's a very serious charge. But it's just taking so long. Just get to it. So I don't know. And what was interesting is that this came out yesterday. In fact, I mentioned it on yesterday's show. ESPN did not put anything out about this until 1:30, almost 2 o'clock this afternoon. What are you waiting for? Their big stories. Are the Browns the worst 0-14 team ever? Brian Hartline calls Terrell Pryor a fraud. I mean, I don't care. They're an 0-14 team. They're not good. Move on. Okay, this is serious. This is real news. What took them so long to jump on the bandwagon on this? ESPN is going to make at some point an extremely interesting case study. Extremely interesting case study on the perception of absolute power. It's going to be very interesting. It really is. At some point. So, but that's a big story. We've had nothing but big stories this week. Oh, by the way, remember yesterday I said I wanted to, when I was done with the basketball game, I wanted to go home and watch Louisville and Kentucky?
Yes.
Which I did. High-level hoops at 20 paces last night. Beautiful stuff. Then I told you I wanted to watch the Poinsettia Bowl, that I was really interested in the matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, 20 minutes into that, fell asleep.
I was dozing by halftime, too.
Oh, well. Years ago, I could do it. All right, Neil Coulong, next half hour. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this very windy and, believe it or not, some snow showers here in the State College portion. Just outside the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to be with you. Neil Coulong in just a few moments. Talk about the Steelers. By the way, Sean does have NFL Network. We will post online directions to the homestead. Why the silence?
Okay, reminder, get to Brewers Outlet tomorrow and stock up. Okay. All right, we're good.
That was a smart move, I think.
Product placement.
Product placement, very important. And not only that, but also valet parking. This is your wife. I just parked like 50 cars, you idiot.
Side of the fifth car down my alley, she'll be on her way to mom's. It was about 2 minutes from our place. So
there you go. All right, here we go. 1894, the United States Golf Association was formed in New York City. And yes, I am a USGA member. 1962, Vince Lombardi, coach of the Green Bay Packers, was on the cover of Time magazine. 1974, the great Phil Esposito scored his 500th career goal as a Boston Bruin. 1986, on this date, Joe Paterno was named Sportsman of the Year by Sports Illustrated. It was only the second time that a coach had won the award. The other, John Wooden. 'Cordell Stewart ran for 80 yards for a touchdown against Carolina, the longest scoring run by a quarterback in NFL history in 1996. And in 1998, the American Basketball League announced it was suspending operations and filing for Chapter 11. How many of you have ever heard of the American Basketball League? Exactly. All right. That tells that story in a nutshell. Okay, let's see. Let's bring in Neil Coolong now. Neil, it is always great to hear you on the show, and welcome back. A lot to talk about, especially with the game coming up on Sunday on Christmas Day. I don't think that's going to happen. Are they glad they brought Boswell last week?
Yeah, I think so. It was a pretty decent performance from him. It's nice to... Nice to have the offensive firepower that you have and have to win a game with your kicker.
Yeah, exactly. Why, in the end, why were they bogging down on drives and had to settle for 5 40-plus yard field goals?
I thought offensively it looked a lot like a lot of the games against the Bengals do, and the reason I think that the Steelers were able to climb back into it had as much to do with the fact that their defense got stingy and Roethlisberger didn't turn the ball over. I mean, typically you see him throwing a pick, maybe even two, or fumbling against the Bengals. It's a defensive team that's really had his number, even with the Steelers' success. They've held Roethlisberger in check pretty well the majority of their last couple meetings. So with that, I think that the Steelers played a very solid second half, not a spectacular one, but the Bengals really did a lot to take away their big playability. And when you lost Ladarius Green, you saw him go down in the second half. That took away an element from the Steelers' offense, which contributed, I think, overall. But Cincinnati has been a very good defensive football team over the last couple of games. So the Steelers, their ability to come back in this game, I think, really shows a measure of character within the team. And then, you know, whoever's turn it is to step up that game and perform at a really high level, it was Chris Boswell on Sunday. So it's a team game, and I think we really saw that at a high level for the Steelers on Sunday.
Your evaluation, where are they right now? They've got two games to go in the regular season, one and a half. Two games to go in the regular season. Sorry, that's a Cleveland Brown shot there. But where do you think they are right now? And I don't mean playoff picture. Everybody knows that. But, I mean, in terms of level of play.
I think it overall I'm mixed on this Ravens game, but whatever the result of that game is, I think that's really what we're going to see be the storyline for the 2016 regular season for the Steelers. They have to win this game. Plain and simple, they have to win this game. They've been building this team with some moderately successful drafts, with some key extensions of veteran players. They've been building, really, I think, for this period of time in Roethlisberger's career. setting up the most amount of talent around him that they could. The ones who have survived at this point, whether by injury or suspension, that's the team that they have. But the depth and everything that's going to be critical against Baltimore is going to have to play above expectation in order to do that. So for me, where the team is it almost is kind of a quintessential look over the last 3 years. It's going to come down to one game against their rival, and this is a team, frankly, that should be able to beat the Baltimore Ravens at home. Whether they're going to is always a different story, and certainly has been in the history of the rivalry of the last couple of years. So for me, it's really a make or break game, not only for the obvious reasons that if they lose, they're probably not going to the playoffs. But right. If they win, this is probably where they should have been around this time last year, the year before, and maybe the year before that.
They gave up 38 yards total in the second half to Cincinnati. I want to start with Ryan Shazier. What has it meant to their defense getting his pure speed back onto the field?
It just makes it really, really hard to run. A lot of the outside zone schemes, the teams really have daggered the Steelers with over the last couple of years. The Ravens were a primary target of that. They were an excellent outside zone team when they won the Super Bowl. And a big part of the reason why they won the division that year is because they crushed the Steelers on the ground with those big plays. Shazier makes that so much harder because I say this every single week. You watch him play. There's a play or two every game where it's just like, oh my, I can't believe he was moving that fast. Right. And honestly, it looks like the players that he's going against don't even expect him to be moving as fast as he is. He really is a unique and a special player, and that the consistency that they've gotten from him. He should have had a pick against Cincinnati. He dropped out, unfortunately, but you know that's why he's a linebacker, not a receiver. With that said, it's making it really hard for opponents to run outside anywhere, which you know really gives the Steelers the ability to sit home in one gap up front and take away inside the tackle types of runs. And you're seeing the rushing yard game just dramatically drop with each of these passing weeks, and it's not coming from spectacular play from any one player. In my opinion, I think as a unit they're all playing very, very well, but with the injuries they now have on the defensive line, it's going to be really interesting to see what Baltimore does to counter that, because if I'm them, I'm just running all day. I don't want to have to throw the ball very much. I'm going to want to run the ball and force the Steelers defensive line to have to get dirty, have to get beat up a bit. I don't know if they can take that. There really aren't many left.
2 years ago, Neil, Monk Mitchell received a lot of justified criticism for how he played. What kind of stabilizer has he become, and is he actually really the quarterback of that secondary now?
I think he is, certainly by position, but he's gotten a lot more comfortable in defense. That's something he's mentioned a couple times this season. He feels that he's really now... It's kind of transitioning away from one scheme and into another one. When he first came in, he was injured for a bit his first year. They're not doing quite the same thing this year that they were last year. And you see Mitchell kind of taking on more of a leadership role just in how he's playing. He's always well positioned now. He's not picking up maybe one personal foul penalty. I don't know how many he's gotten, but since right. that Miami game where he really didn't play very well, I have seen him step up quite a bit. And I think there's a certain, the vocal leadership that's required kind of out of, the tough guy on the defense. I think he's kind of, gravitating to that role now. And, he's probably the right choice for it. The veterans who were there were never really big talkers. And there's a lot of young guys, so especially in the secondary. So for Mitchell, I think there's an amount of natural fit just with his personality into that role, as well as the position that he's playing. He's going to have to be kind of the quarterback of the defense, especially when you have two rookies starting and getting significant snaps within the secondary. And who knows, we might have another rookie starting on the defense by Sunday.
Right, exactly. What does it tell you that, according to Pro Football Focus, that Ryan Shazier, Lawrence Timmons, and Mitchell were the three highest-graded defenders for the Steelers in Week 15?
I'm not overly surprised. I think that's probably fair. I thought Timmons played above and beyond what we've seen Timmons play. And he's done that a couple times this year, to the point where with him, I really thought it was kind of a no-brainer. He's not going to be on this team next year. He's a veteran that costs a lot of money. Shazier is the superstar. They need to save some money. But the salary cap position that they're in, it's interesting. Looking at it, what type of deal he might be willing to stick around for, or if the team does want to keep him around. But I definitely think he's playing better overall this year than last year. As far as Shazier goes, I think it's a lot like with the rookie Artie Byrne. He's really been defined by both a very low basement and a very high ceiling. And game to game, it's kind of been, he doesn't have the ability to stay in the middle anywhere, or at least on the positive side of things. He's found a way to kind of put himself back into the basement. But more and more we're seeing from him, a lot of the errors that he used to make, they're dwindling. They're not as apparent as they were before. He's making more tackles. He's in the right position very often. He's doing really well in coverage. I think we really saw a great all-around game from Shazier on Sunday. It's definitely something that the team is going to need. They've gotten better play out of their inside linebackers, I think, now than they have at any other stretch in the last 2-3 years. So that's a big part of the success that they're having, and we saw that.
They play the Ravens. Now, the Ravens, we know they have great talent. They've got Flacco. But they always match up well with the Steelers. In terms of pure matchups, why?
I think really what we've seen between these two teams is kind of a divergence, if you will, in core philosophy. When the Steelers loaded up, perhaps not by design, but certainly by success, they loaded up with receivers. It was a team that really wanted to start to throw the ball. Then they drafted a natural outside zone runner for more of a finesse and a technical approach to their running game. The Ravens had that outside zone, but they got bigger. They wanted to continue to run power. They used their fullback a lot more often than the Steelers do, and certainly in a more versatile role. With that, they're still kind of a ground and pound team, and I think they got bigger up front. And in correspondence to that, they continued to stay big on their defensive line. They're still drafting several, interchangeable good athletes to play in bursts. If it's only just one series at a time for each guy, their versatility is defined by their front seven, whereas the Steelers is really kind of in their sub packages. If we're talking Steelers offense to Ravens defense, that used to be something the Steelers used to do. They're not really drafting to that as much as they used to. They're much more of a sub-package team in both offense and defense.
Right.
So with that, the Ravens have stayed true to more of a traditional approach to the game. And because of that, the matchups are definitely in their favor. And that's why they win all the time when they play Pittsburgh now. They have the defensive line that can handle Pittsburgh's offensive line. That, to me, is really the key to this game, and that's the way it's been the last 2 years.
One final thing, this is an ancillary note, but I just want your opinion on it. This game is only on NFL Network. What's your opinion of that, especially at a matchup like this?
I think it's kind of lame. It's meant to draw a holiday audience. You would expect, if they're going to go out of their way to play a select amount of games on Sunday when they would normally play it and bump everybody up a day, they'd want to have maximum exposure to that audience. And at the same time, you can make the argument from their perspective that they want to draw people to NFL Network. They want to get subscribers going with their product. From a business standpoint, it's hard to argue logically with what they're doing, but just from a fan perspective and a consumer perspective, it's kind of Bush League. Really,
right.
If you're not going to open up the game to everybody, certainly in the local markets, you're just attacking your fan base. I don't understand the value in that or what you expect to get from a profitability standpoint to not have a game at 4 o'clock on Christmas Day broadcast on the low TV sets for people sitting around with their families wanting to watch football. Why do you have to pay for NFL Network and along with that 45 other channels just able to do that? To me, it doesn't seem philosophically like the best idea, but the NFL does stuff like this all the time, so I'm not even remotely surprised.
I mean, I have NFL Network, so it's no issue for me, but I'm thinking about all the I'm thinking about all the people that don't. So, All right, Neil, thanks so much. To you and yours, happy holidays. Thanks for all the time, as always. I always look forward to talking with you. You always give us great insight.
Well, I appreciate that. Happy holidays to you guys as well.
Neil Coulong joining us. Next half hour, Dan Duggan, NJ.com, to preview the Giants and the Eagles. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Mm-hmm. Shamokin Dam Orchestra cranking out the hits. You should hear them do the holiday stuff. They're going to be playing it during the holiday luncheon tomorrow for those who are invited. Drives Jamie nuts when I do.
It does.
Back there, back at her desk right now, I said, that prima donna. I'm going to knock him down. They eat pegs here. That's why we love Lawrence so much. He's just one of the people. That's why we invited Lawrence. Yeah, Lawrence is doing a best of series. That kind of felt like, you know, I brought that up to him. I said, what about us? He says, did you have anything best of? No. Not really. Okay. Next half hour, we're going to preview the Eagles and the Giants. They will play tonight. The Eagles normally match up pretty well with the Giants, but the Giants have been playing really good football. They're 10-4. Right now, they would be the number 5 seed, the number 1 wild card in the NFC. Their defense is playing really well right now. It has not been the greatest of seasons for Eli Manning, but it's been good enough. And Beckham, despite what you may think of him, Beckham is one of the best in the game. Remember I talked earlier about the Kansas City Chiefs? The biggest problem with the Kansas City Chiefs is that, you know, and this is when we had Kim Jones on. And part of that was, she asked, she said, what do you think of the Chiefs? And I said, well, the problem I have with Kansas City is obviously they're really, really good, but they play it so close to the vest that they're one big play away from trouble. And she, you know, she jumped in and agreed with that assessment right away. Well, that's where Beckham comes in. The Giants play in these close games like they did with Dallas, and who makes the big play on a breakaway and a quick slant that's almost impossible to cover? That's such a quick hitting play, and it turned out that the flow of the play was such where it just allowed Beckham to break over the middle and just break down the sideline. Nobody was there. Well, that's what the Giants get. They seem to get that one or two big plays in a game after they kind of hang in there most of the game. And, of course, against Detroit, they did have that big drive against Detroit to put the game away, and Detroit's very good. But the Packers are really coming on. The Packers right now are the number 2 wild card, and the Packers are, you know, actually, if they can win both their games, have an opening here to win the division. So,
it's kind of hard to find a flaw in Odell Beckham Jr.'s game, but there are sometimes you get these long pockets during a game where he, you know, you don't see or hear much from him. But yeah, when he makes an impact, he certainly makes an impact for sure.
So. Well, the flaw is his temperament. I mean, that's the flaw, where he gets so wrapped up in something instead of, okay, Odell, reel it in. Just play your game. Okay, if you want to really embarrass the other guy, do it by playing. Don't do it by getting emotionally yelling and screaming about it. That's the flaw right there in his game. When he keeps himself focused and in check and in the moment, he's really, really good. He's almost unstoppable. But when you can get him off his game emotionally, now you've got an opportunity against him. Game is at 8:25 tonight. You'll hear it on Eagle 107. And obviously the great advice that Sean had today, if you tune in at 8:15, you won't miss the game. Really rock solid.
I'm here to help.
Rock solid.
It's kind of like the Tom Coughlin thing. You know, show up early. Then again, what was his deal if you showed up even 5 minutes early and not the time you wanted, you still got fined?
You still got fined. Well, there's Jordan Hill told that great story where he goes into the Seattle Seahawks meeting room for a 4 o'clock meeting at 3:45. The second guy in the room was Michael Robinson and nobody else. The two Penn State guys, because Joe Paterno time said you had to be 15 minutes early. I lived it forever.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.